underground preacher to the underground church. Today we're talking about enlightenment. To the woke brothers out there, I would like to say, don't just stop at being woke. Go yonder. There is another level beyond being woke. Remember that being woke is based on knowledge. And knowledge puffs up, but wisdom is humble. And wisdom is far beyond knowledge. Knowledge tells you that I know how the phone works. And wisdom tells you that I can use the phone to do what's right. Do you see the difference? You can have the knowledge to know how to find popcorn. You know popcorn ain't good for you, but yet you're gonna watch it. But wisdom tells you, I know popcorn is there. I know how to get to popcorn. But I will choose to do what's right and not watch popcorn. That's wisdom. And I'm inviting you to seek enlightenment. Don't just stop at being woke. Seek enlightenment. Enlightenment is far better. It's not easy. Oh, God. But it's far better. And once you realize there is a step beyond being woke, it's actually going to calm you down. I was victim of it myself, thinking that being woke is all it is, until Jesus came and tapped me in the back. Hey, look, there is a step far beyond that. It's called enlightenment. And that's what I want you to go for. Huh. I remember somebody saying that having children is the fastest way to enlightenment. And you know that triggered me. It made me wonder, how is that possible? How? Is that a shortcut? How? I prayed about it. I meditated on it. And that's when God came and told me. He said, in fact, having children, the right way, of course, which means getting married, male, female, and conceive a child, and raising that child properly, with a healthy mind, with love, care, feeding that child spiritually, emotionally, physically, properly. He said that is actually the first step towards enlightenment. That's not enlightenment yet. That's the first step. All that work, first step, because you have to take all you learn, raising that child in a healthy way. All that you put in there, take that now to the second step. Now you apply it to your neighbor. Like the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. When you can do that, the way you love your child, the way you care about your child, if you're capable of taking that and apply it to your neighbor, you have gone to the second step. Then comes the third step, applying that to the one that you deem least, to the one that you deem unworthy, to the ones that you call wicked, to the sinners, to love the sinner and hate the sin. Love them the way you love your child. The same energy and strength of love that you put in your child, the same care towards those ones that you deem the least, towards those ones that you deem as your enemies. Then you have come into enlightenment. Then you have fully understood what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those very people that crucify him, he did not curse them, but yet he prayed for them. And he called us to do the same. That's when you understand the meaning and the importance of turning the other cheek. Because you love that person that is slapping you. Because you understand that person that has a gun to shoot you is also loved by God the same way you are loved. God loved the sinner, but hate the sin. And when you get to that point, that's when you understand agape love. And when you reach to that point, somebody comes and slaps you. And you turn around and you pray for that person. Whew. There's no power of darkness that can stand against that prayer. Because as they punish you, you are being crucified on the cross. You are taking on their sins as you're going through it. And once you take on their sins, you take on their punishment, and you open your mouth to pray for them, God listens. And it goes into effect. There is nothing that can stop that prayer. That's a powerful prayer. But until you get there, exercise it. Train yourself. For example, raising a child. You look at the pain that comes in there, and that pain stops you. Many times, I look at an endeavor, something that I had to do, and I look at the pain, and I backed out. Because it's too, I don't want that pain. But God told me, don't look at the pain. Look beyond. I didn't know how to do that. He had to train me. He had to teach me how to move like him. How to learn not to let pain stop you. Through that training, that's when the revelation came. Because on that journey, your pain will turn into a bridge rather than a boundary. And your thoughts will turn into a prayer rather than a gossip. Your suffering will turn into joy rather than misery. And giving joy to others will become an ever joyful ministry. But until then, embrace the journey. Learn to ride the waves of life. Let yourself be carried by the waves of life instead of trying to control it. Because life flows. So let it carry you. Don't resist it. It's all part of the process. Don't focus on the destination. Because what you need to learn is in the journey. The same way when you're at school, they tell you not to cheat, but other people go and cheat. And during the exam, they cheat. And come to find out in life, you can't cheat your way. It's going to catch up to you because they missed the journey. The reason why they say not to cheat is because you're supposed to learn your lessons. That's what's important, that you learn your lessons. If you learn your lessons, there will be no point to cheat. If you learn your lessons and the exam comes, you're not going to have to cheat your way. You know your lessons. It's not the destination. It's your lessons. It's the journey. So embrace the journey. Develop a relationship with God. It all boils down to developing your relationship with God. And eventually, you're going to reach enlightenment. Amen. Underground preacher to the underground church. And I'm out.